Baltimore area.
I'm an addict. My name is Richie. Before I get going, I ain't got long. 25 minutes on healthy relationships. So before we get started, let's do this. Is there anybody in Ocean City that's grateful to be clean? Now, normally, I've given this topic a lot of consideration and a lot of thought because healthy relationships are going to be based in perception. And each person's perception is going to be their own, and that's going to be their reality. So this one's just mine. And I'm just sharing my experience, and I want to try to touch on a lot of things because there's so much meat in this topic that I'm going to miss a lot, but I want to try to hit some of the core ones. First thing is, I haven't done this in a while. Larry likes to call it, I might have a little ring rust. So y'all going to have to work with me because one of the healthy relationships that I've had to develop is a healthy relationship with Narcotics Anonymous. It's sad when you find more value in being behind the microphone than being at home with the people that's supposed to be affected by your message. You're more worried about running around the country and having people tell you what a good job you did, but the people in your home are still shaking their head at you. And you're okay with that. At some point, the noise is going to leave, the illusion is going to leave, and you're going to have to be the one that's carrying the message in your home. At some point, you're going to have to take your rightful position at the head of your family. Because for real, carrying the message is that you need to be the only basic text that anybody ever needs to read. And it's funny when I can do a great job with you, but I don't do so good at home. Healthy relationships require consistency and balance. And consistency and balance is going to take a whole lot of step process, a whole lot of crashing, a whole lot of doing things that make you hate yourself, unfortunately. I don't like doing things to make people cry, but if it's between me and you, it'll be you crying. It won't be me. We're talking about real core of total self-centeredness. That thing you got to get in there and really box it out with that thing to really accept the type of dilemma that I suffer from. Unfortunately, I love my wife. That's my baby. She's been my greatest source of strength for the last 9 years. Let me tell you just a cute little story. I met her here in 2005 at this very convention, coming to this very room to listen to Larry T. share, carry his message. I seen her walk across. You could see her through the glass from down the bottom of the steps. I seen that big, fat, giant, beautiful ass. And I followed her in here. And there was nothing healthy about my motives at that time. I wanted to share with her, but it wasn't a message. The theme of that convention was dreams do come true. In about 3 days, we'll have been together 9 years and married for three. Now, God may not have been at the forefront of that relationship initially. Because what's interesting about God's will is that it can only be done God's way. You can't do God's will your way. You can't show up in life trying to present yourself. Because most of the time, not as much so more. This is what's beautiful about the healthy relationships part is that I don't make all my decisions based in the pain of detox and withdrawal and consequences anymore. The kind of reverence that I've given God in my life is I like to be led by His will now and not kind of forced based in my consequences. And really what determines the health in the relationships is really the depth of the 9 steps that I'm willing to do. Because it's not until that I can look at, meet the world, look them in the eye with neither fear nor aggression, that where I can take my rightful place in society knowing that I'm doing my absolute best. And sometimes the cunning nature of this disease allows me to believe that the good in me is actually the enemy of the best in me, because complacency can set in. And I'll be operating at my physical limitations, but never have dug deep to the real source and the core and asked Him to help raise me up to where He wants me to go. So a lot of times I can kind of talk pretty good sometimes, and I can make decisions and they'll come out right, but I never sought counsel with Him, and I'll try to wrap the framework of God around the situation to make it look right. And I don't want to do that no more, because I want to be free. And I used to make choices based in the fear of what I was going to lose rather than the freedom I was going to gain from the exposure and being honest. Because then when I crack that mask, then y'all can come in and help me where I'm really at. It'd be funny you sharing to get some help like you on 132nd Street, but you down here in your illness on 42nd. They'd be up there looking to help you and your dumb ass is down here because you can't get to the exact nature. More worried about what the people in the rooms think about you. So, I'm no longer trying to live down to your opinion of me. I'm trying to live up to my God-given potential. And the only way that I can do that is I gotta ask for help. It's funny that now that I'm married, and I'm an excellent father, and I'm a consistent employee, I need God in the program now more than when I just had a drug problem. Because when you assume the responsibility of being a 12-step member, you want them to meet Him when they meet you. So I got to learn how to get out of my own way and be a conduit of His will even when I don't want to. Especially when I don't like the behaviors displaying. Because you reminded me of part of an untreated me. And now I want to judge your behavior and not look at you being controlled by your self-hatred. So that's how empathy can get in, and I can stay healthy when I can identify exactly what I'm looking at. But that takes a lot of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And a part of insight is you got to know what you're looking into. Because if you haven't been able to make peace and you haven't gotten to a place where you can accept and forgive yourself for the things that you've done, every time you see it in somebody else or it shows up, it's going to touch a part of you and you're not going to become productive in the relationship. Because you're going to be responding to the fear and the pain and the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment or the remorse, and you're not going to be able to be healthy in the moment. So recovery is a whole lot more than not using drugs. If you really want to know about it, the 12-step process is really designed to develop human excellence. But how many of you are willing to go? And I was talking about this the other day, because I talk about different stuff now, is that as much as your mother and your father may have came together to create you, they have absolutely no idea what you were created for. And through the 12-step process, when you meet Him, you'll find your purpose, aim, and direction, and then you need the steps and the fellowship to hold your path. Because it's so easy to go back to anything I ever was before, because I'm not that far from who I am. I got a day at a time reprieve from anything I ever want to be to destroy myself. And just because I don't feel so bad about myself now that I'm not willing to participate with some of the lies that I've been able to buy earlier in my process, don't mean that they still don't show up asking me if I want to try it my way one more time. So I believe that in order to have a healthy relationship, the first thing you need to have is a healthy relationship with reality. You got to be able to accept things exactly the way they are. And if somebody tells you who they are, believe them. Just believe them. If they show you who the hell they are, believe that shit. There'd be a lot of crashes associated with your ego driving the relationship, making you think you can change them. Wow. Just ask any of my ex-women. You ain't got to ask my exes. You can talk to my wife. She just prayed with me in the back and left. Because that's one of our greatest challenges. She said this morning when we was doing what we do. Because it's called confrontation. And let me tell you something about confrontation in relationships. It's healthy. Because if you're truly evolving in your spiritual growth and development, your beliefs and the things you live according to should change. Which means you got to set new boundaries for the you that's changing. And the people you're involved in, they should be changing and evolving too. They should be growing. So that means they got to set new boundaries and standards for you. And sometimes we can get in unhealthy processes and locked in old ideas, attitudes, and behaviors, and your whole relationship needs a fourth step. And they have professionals for that. Then are you humble enough to admit that you don't have what it takes to fix y'all? Because that's it. Seriously. Ego is powerful. We can do this. I got this. We got this. Just follow me. Trust me. It gets worse. I'm just saying. When you try to fix the problems with the same thinking that created the problems, it gets worse. You can't think your way out of something you behaved yourself into. And I know that. So we was talking about the ninth step part. And do you have people that know you? Do you have a healthy relationship with doctors? Or do you wait until your ass is on fire and then you start flipping through a phone book and trying to find somebody that's going to work with you? Or do you have regularly scheduled checkups? Because if we're talking about a healthy relationship, it has to be a healthy relationship with self. And what you do to yourself demonstrates how you feel about yourself. Wow. So when you call, do they say, hello, Mr. R, or do they say, who the hell is this? I'm just saying, I told you there's a lot of things I want to touch on about this, because in my house, I have a 20-year-old, a 13-year-old, 11-year-old, and I have my wife and I have myself. And we go to the doctors, dentist every 6 months. And it's a challenge on if any one of you gets a cavity, we're going to tear that ass up. You cavity creep. You got plaque all in your face. You know what I mean? Gingivitis ass. Healthy challenges. Might be a little distorted, because if you live in my house, you know how we tease each other, so it ain't that bad. Some of you, because it gets worse there too. So for the last 3 checkups, which equals 18 months, nobody's had a cavity.
Wow.
Nobody. My daughter wanted to get braces. $6,750. My healthy relationship reality says you go to work every day, you do what you need to do, you don't care how it feels, you have people that depend on you for their health and their hygiene. I provide insurance in our home. You want braces? The orthodontist says it would benefit her. I love you. You want to have a beautiful smile? Let's get braces. They pay $2,000 towards it. I'm just saying, being lined up for all the blessings based in the efforts that I've made and the sacrifices. I didn't understand exactly how great it was going to feel to be able to completely provide for my family. You're talking about a guy that used to have to find the woman that had the car, the job, and the house so that you would have somewhere to stay. You know what I mean? You can't be picking no broad that's in the same destitute you're in. That shit ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work.
Right.
We can't live in that motherfucker. You know what I mean? Well, because we're talking about unconditional love. Sex is not used to control. Seriously. Because my job was to get you to make that noise, then I could wow the fuck out. Once you made that noise, I knew I had you. You was going to put up a lot of my dumb ass shit now. Which means it was always physical. It was never spiritual. It was never emotional. There was never any real connection. My wife cut me off for 10 months because we weren't communicating. It wasn't there. And what happened is the sex became less important, and being able to run in and out of each other's spirits became so much more important. Feeling the bondage of being one with another human being that I know loves me, that I know has my back, and I know wants the best for me, even though every time she tells me about the shit I need to be working on, it makes me cringe on the inside. Because I forget that she's the one person that believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery.
Wow.
She becomes the opposition. That thing jumps up in me like, who the fuck you think you're talking to? Bitch, I pay all these motherfucking bills. You better not say shit. I bought your fucking car, everything you got. You can't tell me nothing. I speak at conventions all over the country. You really need to listen to what the fuck I'm saying. I don't ever say none of that shit, but I hear it. Never, not once. Never. But I'm just saying, having a healthy fourth step in knowing who the hell you are and the noise you hear and the unhealthy beliefs, you got to see yourself coming before you open your mouth, because you can't erase a spoken word. Your ass going to be finished. So you got to have a certain level of discipline and obedience with what you think. I'm not responsible for the first thing that comes to my mind, but I better start working on the second one. You can't control what you think, not the first thing that pops in your head. But it should spook you maybe enough to start to try to wind another way. So what I'm explaining to you is the breakdown of the total self-centered being that can be productive member in the relationship, because what needs to happen is we need to create win-win situations in all our relationships. You having what you need from me in every area should be as equally important to me as getting what I need from you in all areas. One person shouldn't win, the other person shouldn't lose. It shouldn't even be a competition. Relationships are places that you go to give, not to take. If you're going there looking for something, you're operating out of a lack and a void, which means it's never going to be healthy, because you're going there looking to be fixed. And mommy ain't there. Because ain't nobody going to do it to me like mommy did it to me. And that's been a big problem. I'm a mama's boy and an only child, and I've always expected that everyone I got with should automatically know to do it the way that she does. I shouldn't even have to ask for the things I need. You should just read the look. Because you're killing some of the freakiness by having to ask too much shit. I'm just saying. Sex can be so confusing. Relationships are so much better when you ain't got to deal with all the emotions. Wish I'd have had that kind of insight early, where we'd have actually got together based in what God you serve, what's important to you, what principles do you live according to, what is really, really important in your life. Not me trying to go there to accomplish a goal to get something based in what I don't have. And I know, coming from a low self-esteem, low self-worth place, I'm probably not the Lone Ranger in that area of pursuit. So another way to determine how healthy you necessarily have been or have been is how many different cell phone numbers you had since you've been here. You know, what the fuck you keep changing numbers for and plans and how many fucking phones you got? I'm just saying, we're talking about consistency and balance. At some point you should get a plan, you fucking making cricket grits. balling on a minute phone. You talk like a motherfucker. I'm sorry. I trip out on shit. Same way with how many places have you lived since you've been in recovery? You moving around like a damn gypsy? Huh? You blaming everybody for your situation? Your rent ain't paid because what? Who did it? Come on, Jim. You ain't talking to the boys at the recovery house. You better make sure you come straight. You come with that bullshit. We're going to tear that ass up. We're going to help put you back together, but we're going to gut you first. You said you wanted help. You raised your hand. Don't tell us how to help you. First coming off that ass tonight. So then, how about this? How about wherever you say that you go to worship this God that you say you serve? That's a funny little social media shit that you was talking about, people posting pictures and all that on. They talk about all this wonderful God they got, then this little baby storm comes in their life and you watch them fucking crumble right on the internet. Then when somebody confronts their faith, I'm just saying, I pay attention. I don't know what y'all do, because I need sure enough bona fide soldiers that are really about what they say they're about when it comes down to it. I don't want you sharing your fucking opinion with me when my life's on the line. Have you lived through it? Do you know what it feels like? Do you know how long this shit's going to rock through? What am I not supposed to be doing? What the hell am I supposed to be doing? Don't tell me what you think. Your thinking got you in the front row. I'm just saying, the longer I've been now in recovery, the shorter my life is and the more important it is to me. I have a life worth living now. I don't want to do anything to separate myself from God's will and all the blessings that He's given me. But I do trust this. If He's filled your cup up with something and you really want to know what it's like to have trust, faith, and belief, when somebody shows up, you got to be willing to pour everything in your cup out on His children and wait and see what He fills it up with next. Because the beautiful part is He will probably fill it with things that you will now have the ability to maintain and will be more about His glory and less about what the hell you think you want. Because nothing that I like makes me experience joy. It fills a void for a minute, but then because I like it so much, I can't stop thinking about the next time I'm going to get one. And then what I think it is that makes me happy now has got me in the triangle of self-obsession, and I'm trapped in obsessing and compulsion because what was just a good feeling now owns me. So I really can't pick what I think I like. I need to learn how to get lined up for Him to use me as a conduit, because the greatest feeling I've ever had is when He's used me to do something far beyond my own comprehension. And then you sit back and watch the miracle, and you was just so happy to be in position. Because He could have used anybody. It didn't have to be you. Anybody could be in these seats. It didn't have to be you. Anybody could be talking up here. It didn't have to be me. So I am grateful for the life that I have. I don't want to do anything to mess it up. I'm going to, but I also know that that thing is also going to be the catalyst to my next spiritual experience and ability to grow and change. Because you've got to hurt yourself sometimes and get to the end of yourself in order to be able to become a new creature. If you're still holding on to the residue of yesterday, trying to carry it into tomorrow, you're going to be trapped for a minute. So I want to say what Calvin taught me last night that he learned in his granddaughter's fourth grade class. This is where we're at with it. It says, is there any wonder why listen and silent are spelled with the same letters? Because you can't hear nothing until you're quiet. And what that quietness means, that everything that you keep sticking in your spirit to try to fill that void eventually has to come out. You can't stick nothing in there, replace it, and then it's got to be peaceful enough for him to come in and deposit his will in you. And can't nothing be in there for you to be able to hear that. So I'm going to let the other lady finish this thing out. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.